It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern. And now, here's the godfather of Italian cooking, Chef J-Man and Toots.
Good morning and welcome to my kitchen. This is Jasper Marabli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen with another delicious show, Miss Kimberly.
We have a yummy show today, Jay. Do you want me to tell you who's on?
Does it involve whiskey?
It does involve whiskey.
It's yummy, baby.
Whiskey and ice cream.
That's even better.
I know. We have Big Whiskey's on, which, of course, opened in Lee Summit. People are going nuts over it.
I love the restaurant.
We have Amy Ettinger, who wrote a book on ice cream. Yes, we're talking about ice cream in January.
That's okay. We should.
It's called Sweet Spot, and it's a fabulous book. Very interesting. We have Spokes Cafe on. Talk about some sandwiches.
Very unique place.
And we have Tim Hall on, who is a huge listener of ours. He is a former caterer who specialized in New Orleans cuisine. He is from, I think he's from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's going to talk to us a lot about that.
He brought me some seasoning. I kind of got a little obsessed with this.
He brought me seasoning, too.
Oh, aren't you special, Miss Kimberly? Well, Kimberly, another great show, another great week. I'm telling all our friends and listeners, they need to listen to us every week right here on KCMO.
Talk radio.
But right now, let's give it back to Mark in the studio and take this show on the road, baby.
All righty.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market for 95 delicious years. And right now, it's hot. Over $94 in savings with the hot picks at Hen House Market. That's right. We're talking Texas grapefruit, only $1.99 each. Of course, all the beautiful and delicious fresh oranges going on right now. Kimberly, here at the store.
It's a citrus bowl. Let's talk about
that.
The citrus bowl.
I like that, the citrus bowl. Very good. Did you come up with that?
No.
And, of course, Tippins pies, Tippins soups for the New York. Kimberly, get your hands off that Tippins pie.
But you know what? Peter Castillo, the executive chef of Hen House, gave me a tip last week, and he said I could cut that slice of Tippins pie in half, and, you know, I wouldn't have to necessarily eat the whole thing.
Well,
so,
you cut that slice of pie in half. I'm eating the whole slice of pie. My friends, it's Hen House Market, your local market for 95 delicious years with the freshest local meat, seafood, and, of course, the best produce in Kansas City. Kimberly, I just love that music. It just brings me back to Louisiana.
And you love that. You love New Orleans. You love the state of Louisiana. In fact, some of your family came through.
Exactly, yeah. They came through
to the United States.
So
yeah.
I love to go back. And I think we'll just take a little trip back now with our interview, because we have some culinary Louisiana eats in the room.
We do. We have some bread pudding that I cannot wait to dig into.
Oh, of course, Kimberly. Just go right for it. You know, here we are supposed to be talking and being professional, and you just start eating.
And it's courtesy of our guest, Tim Hall, who used to own Tim Good Times Catering. The reason we're interviewing Tim today is he came to see us at a remote, Jasper, a Hen House remote a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And we started talking to him, and he loves food, loves Cajun food, used to be a caterer, and wanted to talk Cajun with you, Tim.
That's great.
What
there's
can we
nothing
say?
There's nothing I'd rather do than talk Cajun.
Laissez-les bon temps pour les. That's
yeah,
what
that's
we
could
say.
Let the good times roll. That's it. You know?
So you traveled. You grew up in Louisiana.
You traveled
extensively for 25 years. You lived in different parts of the state before you moved up north, right?
Absolutely. We moved in my first 10 years in the working world. We moved 7 times in that 10 years, all within Louisiana. I lived in New Orleans, lived in Baton Rouge 3 times, Lake Charles twice, Lafayette, and traveled extensively all around with the telephone company. And later, in a subsequent job, I traveled another 10 years extensively in the South. So I knew all the little back roads and the nooks and crannies of the state. That was long before GPS, and I didn't need GPS.
You know, I can just imagine.
You just went where the smells were.
I followed my nose.
And that's how your culinary background started.
That's it. Well, my mom had a restaurant in the catering business when
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when I was growing up in Marksville, Louisiana, which is in Avoyelles Parish, which is the northernmost parish that the Cajuns settled in. My family on mom's side came from Alsace-Lorraine. They came into New Orleans, and then they spread out through the state, but they wound up in Avoyelles Parish. And that's where I originated right there. And then, traveling the state, part of every trip we took, the first thing we did was figure out where we were going to end up and where we were going to eat.
Absolutely.
Sounds like
it.
The Mirables.
No, sure. You're not lying.
Exactly. That's what we did. And the rule of thumb was, if you don't want me to steal your restaurant, don't let me, your recipe, don't let me see you cook it, So I wound up in that recipe book that you're flipping through there has some iconic recipes in. And what we did later was I came up with a series of pamphlets, and 10 pamphlets, and one of them is on Louisiana cuisine, one of them is on Louisiana seafood, one of them is on soul food, which we ate a lot of when we were growing up, and desserts and things like that.
So, cornbread?
Cornbread, absolutely. It's a cornbread recipe, and it was a great one. It's mom's, it's the only one I've ever cooked.
Now, you were in the IT business, in the phone business.
I was in communications.
Communications, on a broader basis. Right?
Yeah.
And so you eventually moved up to La Crosse, Wisconsin.
That's correct.
And then one morning you opened up the garage and the snow was almost up to your neck, and you told your wife, we're moving south.
2009, December. I have the picture. 2009, and I opened that garage door, and the snow was up to my chest. And I said, this is it. It's time to go. And 6 months later, we moved to Overland Park.
Overland Park.
Yeah.
And you were a well-known instructor at the Culinary Center Overland Park.
We did teach quite a few classes at the Culinary Center.
Now, after you retired, you and your son, you had some time on your hands, and you and your son decided to open a catering business.
We talked ourselves into thinking it was a good idea to go into the business of selling Cajun food in the upper Midwest.
In Wisconsin, to be exact, and where they live on squeaky cheese curds.
That's right, and salt.
And salt.
And salt.
Anything else is spicy, that was one of the things that was de rigueur. Every time we cooked anything and served it, everybody was always thinking that because it's Cajun food, it's going to be super hot. And that's a huge misnomer. My spice cabinet is full of all kinds of stuff. It's a lot of spice before you get to hot. The hot part was actually, it's a matter of taste. You go into any good Cajun's home right now, and they're going to have a bottle of Tabasco or Louisiana hot sauce or something like that sitting on the table. And if you want it hotter, there's your hot sauce. You heat it up, But Cajun food originally was bland. I mean, these people were peasants. They had salt and pepper. That was it, when they came in. And so that's basically what they cooked with. And then over time, coming from New Orleans, that's where the Creole influence got involved. And you started getting a lot of folks coming in there from the Caribbean Rim, and they were bringing in all different spices.
So it was kind of fusion at that point.
Exactly. It was a fusion, and the Creole cuisine developed, and alongside of Cajun. Cajun was to the west. New Orleans had the Creole cuisine, and Cajun food was to the west of Baton Rouge out there.
Okay, so you have your career going on the side, because this is kind of taking over. I mean, you're, with the phone company and all, but your real passion is for food. I mean, there's no doubt, just talking to you right now.
Pretty much always has been, yeah.
And just, you decide to write a cookbook.
I have to sustain my weight some kind of way.
I have a copy of the cookbook in my hand right now. Is it available to anybody else? Or,
No, we've pretty much taken it out. Like I said, all those pamphlets that we wrote, I have all of those things. They had the recipes that didn't make the cut to get into here, but there are some really great recipes in there.
Well, I'm looking at some of the recipes here, and some of them are very, very simple. Some of them like the court bouillon and all, a little more difficult. How do you make a 6-week muffin? I mean, does it take 6 weeks? I haven't read the whole recipe.
No. You mix up the ingredients and put it in the fridge, and they'll last for 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. Man, you got me on that.
So when you got a lot of little kids running around the house, it's nice to be able to reach in there in the morning and pull out a couple of scoops and make a muffin and send the kids off to school with a hot muffin.
Muffin. We're talking breakfast now, Miss Kimberly. So how about couscous?
Now, couscous was something that came from around Marksville, Louisiana, which is more into the central part of the state. And that's actually probably a Native American dish. And my mom used to cook that when we were kids. It's cornmeal mush is basically what it is.
I know. My friends make the same dish. So I'm looking at the recipe. And I don't know the recipe, but this looks pretty similar.
It's like a cornbread bread that you fry in a skillet and break it up so it crumbles. And then you serve it with hot cafe au lait.
Okay.
You know? And Mom used to serve a crackling on the side with it.
Like a scrapple.
Oh,
right?
Oh my
right?
gosh, Kimberly. Are you hungry right now?
I'm starving.
Leave the bread pudding alone.
On,
we're
Jasper.
Still doing an interview.
You know me and sweets. You know me and sweets. And a bread pudding, I can't. So, Tim, you like to kind of just stay at home to experience Cajun food. You kind of think what you...
Yeah, you go to restaurants around here, you know, I mean, this is the Midwest. You eat great steak and potatoes. You know,
but I want to barbecue, but not
barbecue. Why'd you do barbecue? When I was teaching classes at the culinary center, I stayed away from barbecue. Those guys over there, you know, they were teaching good barbecue classes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start a borderline war, you know, border war over, you know, and they weren't doing Cajun and Creole, so I did that. You know, it worked fine for me, you know.
So what do you miss most about the catering business? Because I know from experience, from doing it for 12 years, it's brutal.
It is. It's brutal. You're working when everybody else is having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and you're getting home late, and, you know, and I got to sit down and drink a couple of beers and decompress somewhere around midnight before I could go to sleep.
But adrenaline.
Yeah, the adrenaline and everything. You know, when I first got into it, and for the whole time that I was in it, you know, that was really the rush, you know, was it, you know, you're cooking for a whole lot of people, and it's just a satisfaction of being able to take a recipe like gumbo and expand that to where you can make it in this pot that I'm going to show you a picture of right now. It's a 72-gallon pot.
72 gallons,
it's a 72-gallon pot.
He doesn't play games.
You know,
look at this, will you?
It's got 80,000 BTU burner underneath it.
You know? Are you kidding me?
No. And we made 55 gallons of gumbo.
We're going to post this on Facebook for our listeners.
Yeah. You know who would love that? Just because of the size and because of what you can do in it.
Who's that?
Craig Jones.
Craig Jones, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, that's impressive. But we'll post that. Well, Tim Hall, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for bringing the bread pudding. Thanks for taking Jasper back to his second home.
No
he
kidding.
Loves Louisiana.
All the little langapes. Did I say that right?
Lanyap.
I always say langapes. See,
Lanya.
All the little extras.
A little extra.
All the little extras.
Yeah, like a baker's does.
Oh, my friend. See, we could spend another hour with this man.
Heck yeah.
Come on. Well, Kimberly, another great interview. We're talking Louisiana. We're talking Southern cuisine.
Let the good times roll, Jasper.
No doubt.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market for 95 delicious years. And don't forget, my friends, it's the hot picks. That's right. You can save over $94 in hot picks this month. We're talking about honeysuckle white, 85% lean ground turkey, 2 for $5. Sea cuisine breaded fish fillets, 2 for $5. And also, it's time for the Citrus Bowl this month. That's right. We're not talking football. We're talking about good sources of vitamin C. Of course, we're talking about those delicious oranges, Texas ruby red grapefruits, fresh limes and lemons. Oh my, it's the Citrus Bowl going on right now at your neighborhood Hen House Market. And don't forget, dipping soups right now. Oh, it's winter time and it's time for soups at your neighborhood Hen House Market. Kimberly, you've known me for many years.
I have.
You know about my obsessions.
Many of them. Are you going to lay a new one on me?
Between 9 and 11 p.m. at night.
Oh, going to the freezer.
Going to the freezer.
Or any ice cream store in Kansas City that stays open late.
You hit it there. I have a problem. I'm going to admit it right now. Everybody knows. I don't care. But here you go. You add to my problem today.
Wow, we are so lucky. We have journalist Amy Ettinger on with us. Amy spent a year like doing a dream job, traveling across the country, eating ice cream, talking to people who make America's favorite dessert. She rode on the back of an ice cream truck attended the best ice cream school in the country. And listen to this. She was carjacked in Milwaukee while reporting her book. So, Amy, we are so lucky to have you on. This is a fascinating and a very unique book because it's sort of a combination of history, memoir, and recipes.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. The book was so much fun to write. I just enjoyed, except for my time in Milwaukee and a couple of the flavors that I sampled, I enjoyed almost every moment of reporting this book.
Well, how did you turn your obsession with ice cream into a book? I mean, I wish I would have thought of this.
Well, you know, I noticed that artisanal ice cream shops were opening up all over the country. I mean, I was living in San Francisco when I first had the idea for it, and there was like a new shop on the corner, on every little street corner, you know, every week. And, you know, I'd go visit friends across the country, and I was seeing the same thing happening. And I thought, I love ice cream. There is a long history of ice cream love in this country that dates back all the way to George Washington. I'm going to put this story together, my memoir, the history, and this trend of all these shops opening up, and write about it.
We know that you sampled a lot of flavors, and you just mentioned in the intro that there were a couple that you didn't like. What were the ones that you liked that stick in your mind? What were the ones that never again?
Yes. Well, the ones that stuck in my mind were, you know, I have a particular love of butter pecan. It happens to be a really popular flavor in the United States, but it's difficult to get on the West Coast sometimes. So when I traveled to Milwaukee, I had that, and I also had it in Philadelphia, and it was phenomenal. I went to a little small artisanal shop in Seattle called Kurt's Farm Stand that just had, this man is, you know, milking Jersey cows on a little island off of Seattle. He milks it, pasteurizes the milk, makes the ice cream base, and flavors it all with ingredients from his farm. And it was phenomenal. So those were the sorts of flavors that I got to sample, and I really enjoyed them. Now, the more difficult and challenging flavors, I must say, were I did try garlic ice cream, and I tried it in both a vanilla base and a chocolate base, and it was equally challenging, I would say, in both. I tried a faux gras ice cream, which was better than I had expected, and an oyster ice cream. I had a chef down in Los Angeles who made me a special oyster ice cream, because it was Dolly Madison's favorite ice cream.
Really?
And yes, she used to make it. She would get the oysters fresh from the Potomac, and she made it into sort of a chowder, and she would freeze it, and she loved it. And so I wanted to sample what that would taste like, and he made it. And it was very oyster tasting, let me just tell you. If you're not used to having a savory ice cream, it was a very unique experience.
And was there anything that you were especially surprised about as you were conducting your research?
Well, I was shocked to learn that most ice cream stores do not make their own ice cream base. So I talked about that a little bit, that this guy in Seattle is making his. But it's very, very unusual. The milk, cream, sugar, and eggs that kind of makes up most of the ice cream is often made at large dairies or large corporations across the country. And people, even little mom-and-pop shops, they usually have to buy their ice cream base, and then they flavor it the way they want it. You know, they can put their little ups and extras and their little touches on it. But that was one of the most surprising facts that I learned, that homemade or artisanal ice cream is usually made from a prepackaged ice cream base.
And I didn't know, and this came as quite a surprise, you talk about the competitive side of the ice cream world, including the dangerous turf wars of ice cream trucks. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. I mean, it can get nasty out there because it's business. You know, it's a big business and it's territory. And whenever you get those, you know, two concepts together, there can be some competition. So I went out to Brooklyn in the height of summer, and I rode on the back of an ice cream truck with a woman named Maria, the ice cream truck girl, and she took over her father's route. He was a Good Humor man in the 1940s, and the family has been patrolling the same streets in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn for several decades. But there are a lot of Mr. Softy trucks that have now come on her route. And so she's gotten into these absolutely, you know, violent fists. She's punched other drivers. They've punched her. They've wrecked her truck. She's vandalized their truck. She's been arrested. And she really, you know, took me through the streets of where this is all happening. And it was very eye-opening to hear her story. But I could relate in the sense that she has such a strong family tradition of selling ice cream out of the back of a truck. I mean, she had a very deep connection to her father. And I write in my book about my connection with my father and how we really bonded over ice cream. So even though it was, you know, it was interesting to hear it, I definitely understood, and I think a lot of readers can relate to her idea of really trying to protect her father's legacy.
So there's got to be, I'm sure that you have another book that you could do just on the highlights of your odyssey, but what were a few that stood out?
I got to go to a water buffalo ranch in Petaluma, California. There's a man who has decided to raise water buffalo that he is milking and making delicious gelato from. And he's one of the few farmers out there who have water buffalo in this country. They're pretty common in other parts of the world, in Asia, but in this country it's very unique. So that was really fun. I got to see the water buffalo, see the operation. I got to pet a baby water buffalo, and they were super, super cute. You know, all of the tours that I got to do in the backs of ice cream shops, I really enjoyed, because everybody has their own way of doing it and their own pride in how they do it. In Milwaukee, you know, you mentioned that I got into some trouble in Milwaukee. I was carjacked writing the book. But before that happened, I got to talk to people who have been making frozen custard for, you know, 50 or 60 years. It's been in their families. And it's, again, that story of generations taking over their family business and learning these proprietary recipes. So those are the stories that really stick out when I think about writing this book, were the stories that I got to hear from people all over the country about why they were working so hard keeping their businesses going.
That's amazing.
Okay, I have to ask you very quickly. I know we're a little short on time, Kimberly, but store-bought ice cream, Haagen-Dazs, Ben & Jerry's, some of those. Is there any favorite that you say, well, I travel the country, but you know, you can still get a great ice cream in the grocery store?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. You can definitely get a great ice cream in the grocery store, and all those brands you mentioned are fantastic, but I do love that there are specialties now. Like, you really do have to travel to the Midwest to get real traditional frozen custard, and you really do have to come out to California to try the water buffalo gelato.
Oh,
and
there's no doubt.
I love that, because we live in an age where you can get almost anything delivered, so that the idea that you have something that's special and unique regionally is fascinating to me.
Well, Kimberly, we got a new go-to ice cream girl.
Yes, we do. And Amy, I don't know if you're planning on coming to Kansas City for anything, but we are a city of barbecue and ice cream. So
it sounds like a dream.
You know, and we actually have a chef-driven ice cream shop who makes everything from Morel ice cream to ice cream with Kansas City famous burnt ends. It's burnt Ooh. Ends are indigenous to Kansas City barbecue. So we will roll out the red carpet for you, okay?
Okay, I will add it to my list. There are places I didn't get to for this book that I regret, and so I have a list going for my next travels.
You need to put Betty Ray's in Kansas City on that list, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on. The book is called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America. Does it get any better, Kimberly?
Amy Ettinger could say probably no.
Make sure you get your hands on a copy of this book today. And then you know what else, Kimberly?
What?
Let's go have some ice cream.
Let's do it.
Good morning and welcome to my kitchen. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's kitchen with another delicious show, Miss Kimberly.
We have a yummy show today, Jay. Do you want me to tell you who's on?
It's yummy, baby.
Whiskey and ice cream.
That's even better.
I know. We have Big Whiskeys on, which of course opened in Lee Summit. People Ooh, are going nuts over
I
it.
I love the restaurant.
We have Spokes Cafe on. Talk about some sandwiches.
Very unique place. Well, Kimberly, another great show, another great week. I'm telling all our friends and listeners, they need to listen to us every week right here on KCMO.
Talk radio.
But right now, let's give it back to Mark in the studio and take this show on the road, baby.
All righty.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market for 95 delicious years. And don't forget, my friends, it's the Hot Picks. That's right. You can save over $94 in Hot Picks this month. We're talking about honeysuckle white, 85% lean ground turkey, 2 for $5. Sea cuisine breaded fish fillets, 2 for $5. And also, it's time for the Citrus Bowl this month. That's right. We're not talking football. We're talking about good sources of vitamin C. Of course, we're talking about those delicious oranges, Texas ruby red grapefruits, fresh limes and lemons. Oh, my. It's the Citrus Bowl going on right now at your neighborhood Hen House Market. And don't forget, dipping soups right now. Oh, it's winter time and it's time for soups at your neighborhood Hen House Market.
Kimberly?
Yes, Jasper.
You like when I say that, Kimberly?
I always know there's a question. I'm always hoping I know the answer.
Because we are not scripted, of course.
That's right.
You know what's kind of large and it's in a big barrel?
Large in a big barrel. Monkeys? Barrel monkeys?
No. I'm talking big whiskey.
Big whiskey.
Whiskey, of course.
That's right. American Restaurant and Bar. We are so lucky to have Paul Sundy on the line with us this morning. He's the co-founder and senior vice president of operations. You guys just opened up in Lee's Summit, Paul, and people are excited. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're very well, and much better now that we're talking big whiskey with you, my friend. And we got connected through a friend of ours in St. Louis that's a customer and college friend and grade school friend of yours, Brian Lyle. So we appreciate you coming on today.
Man, thank you very much for having me.
Who is big whiskey? That's the burning question, Paul.
Well, there's kind of there's a legend that goes kind of behind it. And as the legend goes, you know, my grandpa did own a little restaurant and bar, a little corner tavern in kind of small town Lockwood, Missouri. It was basically one of those things that he opened in the morning for breakfast, lunch, dinner, then even had a bar in the back for the weekends and late nights. And he had one customer that would always come in. He said, I'm only going to have one, so make it a big one. And so that legend kind of grew through as we were developing a brand and, you know, and I'd heard stories about it. My grandfather did pass away about a week before we opened our first store. But kind of through the course of time, I've heard more and more stories about this guy. So we've kind of paying a little homage to the past and hopefully, you know, bring it through to the future.
And we're talking about big whiskey and how it all began, actually, 11 years ago. I didn't realize that with the first location.
Yeah, we opened them. I mean, we're right on the Route 66 in downtown Springfield, Missouri, was kind of our first, we call it kind of our rough and tumble location because we, you know, we were just younger kids back then trying to make it work. And we'd worked in the restaurant industry forever, and we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. We were just trying to do everything we knew, but just do it a little bit better than everyone else. And, you know, and Big Whiskey's was kind of the brainchild of how that all evolved.
You know, you chose to open your first store in Kansas City in the Lee's Summit area, which is growing. I mean, it's becoming a food destination in its own right. And I know community is very important to what you guys do. Why did you choose Lee's Summit?
Well, for us, you know, we'd had some family friends that were up there. Our franchisees that signed up for that store, they'd grown up there a little bit and had some family there. And Lee's Summit's just exploding. I mean, it's just kind of to go along with exactly what you said. I mean, it's absolutely just killing it as far as becoming a restaurant destination. And when it was our first introduction to Kansas City, you know, Lee's Summit was a very natural fit for us to get up there and kind of start that process as we continue to expand in the Kansas City proper area.
All right, let's talk about the menu. Let's talk about food. Gosh, I mean, the menu, it's really something. I'm looking at it right now. How do you ask this, Kimberly? What's your favorite item on the menu? It's kind of hard to ask that. I don't want to ask you that's like asking your favorite child or something.
Maybe what's your favorite out of each category?
Yeah, how about that?
Our menu was a labor of love. I mean, we put a very big process on product. You know, quality is a big piece of the environment for us. It's not just, hey, how fast can we get something cranked out or how inexpensive can we purchase it? We've always looked for some of the best ingredients. And, you know, what a lot of people don't know is we're a restaurant with a celebrated bar product, not just a bar. We're a restaurant that celebrates sports, not just a sports bar. So when it comes to, you know, our food products and things like that, I mean, I could go through, I mean, our maple apple salad, you know, out of the salad category, it's a homemade dressing. Our Strawberry Hill is one of our top sellers. You know, then obviously we have award-winning wings, and we have a kind of a little bit of a special recipe for those wings that I won't go into detail, but we find a way to make them crispy, you know, and rather than, you know, sometimes when people toss wings, and obviously we've stayed with some of the market trends. I mean, we now have a street taco section on our menu with our Boom Boom Shrimp Tacos are one of my favorite dishes but a lot of the times when I get in there is I fall into the same order syndrome, where I go in there and I have like my order. So about every 6 months I switch it up and switch to something different. But you know, everything from our pastas to our steaks, I mean, I haven't found something that I can't palate or something I don't like. Now granted, you know, I'm a big piece of them being on the menu. So everything that we have is, we kind of look at it like this is, you know, if you want a lemon pepper chicken, you're going to taste lemon pepper at our place. It's not going to be a bland flavor. So we've really tried to make sure that everything has, I don't want to say a bold offensive flavor, but it has a bold flavor of what you're ordering, rather than this tastes like air, you know. That, and so that's one of the things we've really tried to stay true to as we've expanded our menu through the course of time. I mean, we started out with just, you know, sandwiches and burgers, you know, 11 years ago, and now we're all the way into hand-cut steaks, homemade pastas, one of our buffalo chicken dips, and I know that that's a trending thing in the world. We had that on our first menu, you know, 11 years ago. There's a reason ours is better than what I would consider most, and there's a lot of quality ingredients, and we do a couple of extra things to our chicken before we put it in there. So it's been a pretty cool process for us.
And of course, it's Kansas City, and you have some baby back ribs with something really unique, a big whiskey, honey whiskey barbecue sauce. That sounds delicious and fall off the bone.
Our barbecue sauce is actually kind of our claim to fame. You know, it started out as a wing sauce. I mean, it was so good you could almost dip cardboard in it, and cardboard would taste good.
I like that.
You know, so we've now bottled it. We're selling it in the local grocery stores around here, and then you can get it in the stores, obviously. But you know, we use those on our ribs, we use them on our pork chops, and that's just the thing is we did not want to do the same thing as everybody else. We wanted to really maintain that quality. So whenever you get something, you know, that's, you know, some of that stuff is made from scratch inside our kitchen. I can't call us a scratch kitchen, but I can definitely say we're really close to a scratch kitchen.
So you are in Chiefs territory, of course. And as you know, KC loves their Chiefs. So what are you guys doing for football this season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do a wing special, you know, every Sunday. And, you know, and then each individual store might have different drink features and things of that nature. But, I mean, you know, the wings are always a big thing for us. And it's, I think it's 60-cent wings up in Kansas City on Sundays.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know, it's kind of been Kansas City's been a great moment for us. Obviously, being a Chiefs fan growing up just in the Southwest Missouri area, Chiefs were, you know, kind of our heart. And I know that it's a big bump in the Springfield market whenever the Chiefs come on. And, you know, and then obviously I used to be a huge, huge Royals fan as a kid. I remember getting my picture taken with George Brett back in the day of, you know, the whole pine tar debauchery and all that stuff. But I mean, it was it's kind of a natural progression where Kansas City was really close to our heart. And so that's kind of where we identified, and we wanted to build a big infrastructure up there to kind of, you know, really have a 6-8 store stronghold in the Kansas City area.
Wow. That's really something else. Well, we can't go away from talking to you without talking about big whiskeys, desserts, and Miss Kimberly, fried cheesecake, big brownie skillet, not your grandmother's pecan pie, washed down with a little whiskey, my friend. This is really something else, very unique too.
Man, we've, you know, I can't, you know, 11 years ago when we started this whole thing, I couldn't have told you that whiskey was going to be the fastest trending spirit in the world. However, it is, and we happen to own a restaurant named Big Whiskeys for other reasons. So we've really put a lot of time and effort of our name matching the whiskey product that we do have. Our goal is to bring whiskey to the every person, not just to the longtime drinker that has a whiskey on the weekends or something of that nature. You know, we've got a drink menu that has infused different whiskeys. We've got, you know, the mules that we've made flavors in that, you know, I kind of put it in this case scenario. You know, a lot of the owners' wives, none of them like whiskey, but they do now because we've been able to make drinks and products that are a lot more palatable than just that, you know, heavy oak flavor that your grandpa likes.
We're trying
to bring that flavor profile to a new market.
So
and so far, it's just, we're hitting on all cylinders. And obviously with our desserts, you know, for me, you know, the best dessert I can have is a shot of whiskey. But sometimes that not your grandmother's pecan pie has really changed my world.
I love it. So it's whiskey for the people. Jasper, people can go to Big Whiskies, and they're located in the Summit Fair Shopping Center at 860 Northwest Blue Parkway in Lee Summit, Missouri.
They can check them out online and see the menu and some great photos of the food. But heck, who wants to look at the food? I want that food right now. It's Big Whiskies. Go to bigwhiskies.com. Thanks for coming on the show today, and we look forward to seeing you and checking out the new restaurant, and all our friends and listeners, I'm sure, will tell them that Jasper and Kimberly sent them.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market for 95 delicious years. And right now, it's hot. Over $94 in savings with the hot picks at Hen House Market. That's right. We're talking Texas grapefruit, only $1.99 each. Of course, all the beautiful and delicious fresh oranges going on right now. Kimberly, here's the store.
It's a citrus bowl. Let's talk about
that.
The citrus bowl.
I like that, the citrus bowl. Very good. Did you come up with that?
No.
And, of course, Tippins pies, Tippins soups for the New Year. Kimberly, get your hands off that Tippins pie.
But you know what? Peter Castillo, the executive chef of Hen House, gave me a tip last week, and he said I could cut that slice of Tippins pie in half, and, you know, I wouldn't have to necessarily eat the whole thing.
Well,
so,
you cut that slice of pie in half. I'm eating the whole slice of pie. My friends, it's Hen House Market. Your local market for 95 delicious years with the freshest local meat, seafood, and of course, the best produce in Kansas City.
Kimberly.
Yes, Jasper.
Whew, I thought you were sleeping over there. You know I love meatloaf.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten a lot of meatloaf. Mama's meatloaf, Papa's meatloaf, the one we have at the restaurant right now. Other friends' meatloaf, which is not so good, but you know, what do you got to say? You brought in someone today with a meatloaf that's to die for.
And we had no idea.
No.
What he was. You know, we often ask our guests to bring in a sample, something that represents their brand. So
I thought he was going to bring in a couple cups of coffee or something. I didn't know.
Or a bike.
Or bike, you know. Bicycle. He rode a bicycle here, probably.
But, Dan Walsh, who is managing partner of Spokes Cafe and Cyclery on Washington Street in downtown Kansas City. Number one, a unique concept. Number two, fantastic food. And number three, do you have to be a cyclist to come in?
Are you asking for a friend?
I'm asking for a friend.
You do not. Thanks for having me out today, guys.
Yeah.
We are Kansas City's first cafe and cyclery. So,
wow.
The first two-thirds of our new store at 1200 Washington, one block west of Broadway, it's just a cafe. It's a local cafe. We're open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. We do coffee, breakfast sandwiches, and burritos in the morning, and then our melt menu at lunch. But then what's kind of unique about us versus other folks is we have a bike shop right in the back. So several of the folks that are involved in the business are bike folks. There's not a lot of bike shops downtown, and it's actually a nice combination. So we service the local crowd during the week, and then we are a destination for cyclists on the weekends. So we have groups of 20, 25 cyclists start out from Brookside or from Shawnee, ride down, have breakfast, and then ride back.
Very cool. I love it.
I like that.
So can you rent a bike?
You can rent a bike at our place for a day, 3 days, or a week. So we have a nice program where we'd like folks to Uber in from the airport, stay downtown, and rent a bike to get around town as opposed to a car. And then we have a full service mechanic on staff 7 days a week, and then we sell bikes too. We have it's a real live working bike shop.
Well, excuse me, because I'm finishing up the meatloaf, Kimberly, and there's none left of the meatloaf. Just to let you all know.
Okay, thank you.
First of all, it's hard enough running a business. It's hard enough running a restaurant. Now you put the bike shop in, and this is very unique, and only a few places across the country are doing something like this.
Yeah, so a lot of times a bike shop, it's hard to be an independent bike shop these days. So in a lot of cases, and even a couple of places in Kansas City, you get a bike shop that'll either buy an espresso machine or put some taps in for a secondary revenue source. We kind of turned it on its ear, and we are a cafe primarily, and then we have a bike shop in the back. And, you know, it's a passion of several of the people that are involved in the business. It's a need for downtown. River Market Cyclery closed. There's not a bike shop downtown. And it's a combination. You know, we say every good ride starts with a cup of coffee and ends with a beer.
Serve both.
And we serve both. And then the one thing that we are passionate about everything that we do, and cyclists tend to be very passionate about cycling. So we bring the passion of the cyclist to coffee, to food, and to the drink that we do.
It's a perfect combination.
Well, the menu is unique. Kimberly, are you looking at this menu?
Are you the melt menu?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about that melt menu.
Well, as we looked around, I'm a big grilled cheese fan, and I have been all over Kansas City looking for good grilled cheeses. There are several in town, but there's no place that owns melts. There's a lot of places that owns burgers or owns Italian food or things like that. But in terms of a straight up melt sandwich menu, we figured that we thought there was a place in the market for that. So we created a menu where everything starts with the bread as the hero. Our kind of secret sauce that we can tell everybody is we fresh shred all of our cheese, and so the cheese melts very quickly, but it also tastes terrific. So we're not trying to melt slices of cheese or work with pre-shredded cheese with some sort of wax on them. So you don't get that in a lot of places other than pizza places these days. And then we start with great bread, put great cheese on it, and then add either meatloaf or add, you guys are eating the fancy grilled cheese, so a little fig spread, apples, Swiss. Mm-hmm. We've got a classic grilled, or a spokes grilled cheese, which has three different cheeses and a Dijon Parmesan spread on it. But it's all about the bread and the cheese. For us, we're using local folks. We use Roma and Farm to Market as our bread sources. And
you can't go wrong there. Those are my two bakeries.
yeah. We toast the bread or grill the bread first and then melt the cheese on top of it. So we try to get the bread perfect and then the cheese perfect.
Wow. And you don't play games with coffee either. I mean, we're not just talking drip coffee. We're talking espresso, you know.
Full espresso bar. So our bar is kind of split right down the middle. So we have a full espresso bar. We're serviced by Messenger Coffee, which is local guys that roast over out of Lenexen or moving downtown. So we serve, you know, I kind of like to say offhandedly, we serve everything Starbucks serves. And then the other second half of the bar is a bar. So we have 8 taps. We have 25 beers in the cooler, all craft beers, and we have a full cocktail menu.
You could bring the bike in, get a tune-up, have a little espresso, go into lunch. I think you could spend the afternoon here, Kimberly.
I think you could.
Well, yeah, it's smoking fast Wi-Fi, so we'd like for you to spend the afternoon there. Come camp at our place.
There you go.
The Game response?
On. Response has been very good. You know, people are finding us, but we're doing 90 to 120 lunches a day already.
So, and, of course, you've got a built-in, some corporate HNTB is right there.
Kansas City Southern, Argus, the landlord here, Newmark or Zimmer.
Around some apartments and lofts, right?
Yeah. So we are in the ground floor of a new apartment complex over there called Summit Apex. Mm-hmm. And so it's 398 apartments and 700 residents eventually. So we're really we're at the top of the 12th Street Bridge. And it's really a new residential area that's kind of spanning or connecting the crossroads to the West Bottoms.
Yeah. So you've got a built-in business audience, you've got a built-in residential audience, and then everyone else is gravy.
That's right. That's what we, yeah, and then bikers on the weekends.
That's right.
Bicyclists, not bikers. You can ride your motorcycle, but.
And the nighttime snacks. I mean, doing a charcuterie tray, chips and cheese, quesadillas, the spice nuts, which you brought in. But then, Kimberly, I think you're going to like this. What are you looking at me for?
Dessert.
I knew it. Come on. Salted caramel brownie sundaes. And you actually make these brownies in-house.
We do. My mom makes them. So my mom, my food background is my parents own a catering company. And my mom's just kind of a blocking and tackling, makes things that taste good. So she comes in and she makes our pasta salad. She makes our coleslaw. And she makes these salted caramel brownies that are legendary in the family. And now we actually sell them.
How about her chocolate chip cookies?
Chocolate chip cookies are pretty amazing as well. and they're unrecreatable. Like, she'll give you the recipe, she'll tell you exactly how to make them, but they just don't taste the same.
Right.
And she'll tell you, she oversimplifies everything, which is great, but you know, it's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
My sister-in-law Vicky's like that, but I don't think she's giving me the right recipe.
See, I think she leaves something out. Are you sure your mom doesn't just kind of, I'm not going to give him that one.
That's right.
Ingredient.
Well, this is so unique, and I mean, seriously, breakfast, lunch, dinner, word on the street about these Reubens. Come on, you know Kansas City loves a good Reuben. Yep.
That's right. That marble rye from Rome was killer. And we, toast up the bread perfect and then melt that Swiss cheese on there. It's great.
Well, it sounds like you own the melts.
I own the melts. I'm the food guy.
I like it.
I ride a little bit, but I'm definitely the food guy. Wow. We just make stuff that tastes good for us. You know?
Love it.
We hired some really good cooks from a couple places around town, so they're helping us getting going. And we're just getting started, but we're definitely the reviews in are good so far.
Delivery with the spokes or not?
Not delivery yet, but we'll get there. We use Menufi, which is our online app. So you can order on Menufi, skip the line at lunch, and we'll have it ready for you. Everything flows in pretty easily there, and you can order through our website.
I could see you ordering or delivering on bikes in the downtown
area. I think we'll be delivering on bikes, and we're also we'll do corporate lunches too. Yeah. From what we've got around, you know, box lunches are kind of in our bailiwick as well. So we'll even deliver a bike and a sandwich. It was actually funny the other day. We sold a bike. We use the same POS system. It's all connected. So I rang up a $1,500 bike and a cup of coffee on the same
ticket.
There
you go.
And I said to the guy, I said, I'd just give you the cup of coffee because you bought the bike, but I just really want to ring these up together.
No kidding.
Your accountant, his accountant's going to be scratching his head
right.
at the end of the year. So
food costs, bike costs, coffee costs. I like that.
I love it. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your goodness with us. We look forward to visiting you, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Anybody who brings in homemade meatloaf with cheddar cheese, a spicy ketchup, those crispy onion strings, go there now, my friends. It's Spokes Cafe and Cyclery. It's connecting the Crossroads and the West Bottoms. Kimberly, that's unique itself.
Let's get our bikes, go down there.
Nah, I'm driving. I'll go down and maybe ride a bike.